Good morning, Mosh.
Good evening, Dennis. How you doing?
Good, good. Been a long time.
Been ages, ages, in fact. Dennis, let me ask you something. Are there things in your life that you kind of wish, like if you had the power of time travel, you'd go back and maybe take a mulligan on, redo, reverse, do differently?
This is tricky. My gut is to say yes, right? My gut is like, of course, you know, I asked out that girl in high school and it was embarrassing, or I don't know, tripped in this thing or whatever, but no.
For those who don't know Dennis, the way he said, I asked out that girl, that is the exact voice you do for us. A sumptuous Chinese dinner.
Yeah, it's true. It's a succulent Chinese meal. Yeah.
It's the exact voice you use for that.
I want to say yes, but then I don't know. I like my life. I like the position I'm in. And I'd be worried about butterflying affecting my way out of it. Like Marty, you know, in Back to the Future, you know, he goes back into the future. And then, you know, in one scenario, Biff's cleaning their car and his parents are rich and they're happy. And another scenario, Biff is Donald Trump and, you know, emperor of America or whatever.
And is married as his mom, right?
Yeah.
And his dad died under mysterious circumstances. I think I hate this butterfly effect, law of unintended consequences thing. And Doctor Who just has a great way of explaining it as being a timey-wimey,
wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey, yeah.
Wibbly-wobbly, yeah. Don't look at it too hard kind of thing, which, by the way, when you're writing a time travel series, you just have to go with that. Don't try to explain it all. Well, the recent Flash movie, Flashpoint, is based on him going back, the Flash, Barry Allen, going back in time and reversing his mother's death. And then all of the consequences that flow from that, which is generally the type of film that I hate. I love Back to the Future, but in general, I don't like those kind of time travel movies. The best thing about it, by the way, is, in your opinion, Dennis, what is the greatest Batman film ever made?
Greatest Batman film ever made, in my opinion. Oof, I don't know. Maybe like, I really like Batman Begins, to be honest. But also maybe like, I don't know, like the George Clooney one, the first one, just Batman.
The George Clooney one?
Yeah. You know, like the George Clooney Batman?
That's Batman and Robin.
Right, but there's also, isn't it also, Batman Returns. Those are
Michael Keaton.
Who has now returned. Film. So has George Clooney, by the way.
Has he really? Batman Returns, by the way, is in my opinion, the greatest. It's so good. Do yourself a favor and go watch it. It's Tim Burton. It's Danny Elfman. It's Michael Keaton, Michelle Pfeiffer, Danny DeVito.
That's a good one.
Chef's kiss. All right. So Bruce Wayne does feature, multiple Bruce Waynes, multiple Batmans do feature in the new Flash film. Because that's the whole point of it, as do multiple Supermans.
Because somebody realized that, hey, people like multiverses, everything needs to be that now.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the multiverse kick here, bringing Michael Keaton back is I have no desire to see this Flash film, not even a little bit. The only DC films I've seen are Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman 1984. I love the Flash. I have zero, absolute, like negative interest in seeing this film. And then all of a sudden they put Michael Keaton as Batman in the commercial. Sign me up.
Yeah.
That got me, you know, I John and I are probably going to see this film just for Michael Keaton as Batman. Bruce Wayne does have a comment though. These scars we have make us who we are. We're not meant to go back and fix them.
That's how I agree with that. I think, dude, I mean, they're obviously, if you have like traumatic events in your life that you wish hadn't happened to you, I would not blame you for wanting to go back and have those things not happen. That being said, I do think people are rich tapestries made up of their experiences and their upbringing and the way they view the world over time. And all of those components, good and bad, are what makes you who you are. Now, if you're in a position in your life where you're not happy with who you are, maybe the Flashpoint proposition is more appealing to you. I understand that too.
I think, though, that it's just the Flashpoint proposition, if you're not happy with who you are, is not going to make you happy with who you are. You're going about fixing it the wrong way. And we spent a long time on this podcast talking about this idea of learning from our failures, failure being a far better teacher than success. And in that sense, I don't want to say tragedy is a failure. It's not, you know, tragedy happens. Tragedy is life. That is that, you know, it's not all, you know, apple pie and puppy kisses. And if we start to erase those tragedies, if we start to take all the negative things in our life and remove them, it is catastrophic. I think catastrophic. And of course I'm a man who's made many mistakes and has finally come to a place where he's learned from a lot of those mistakes. Even the mistakes I made 10 years ago suddenly come into more focus. And I start to understand myself and who I am now as a result of those mistakes, and who I was when I wasn't happy with myself as a result of those mistakes, right? Those are all learnings that you get from mistakes and tragedies. Also, tragedy has a way different from a mistake. Mistake is, you know, I did something stupid in a relationship where I never asked out.
Tragedies can be completely out of your control, right?
Yeah. Tragedies, though, have that, you know, when things are in our control, we have a way of wanting to take ownership and trying to steer the ship differently. Tragedies are out of nowhere. And we start to judge how we react when things are truly out of our control. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, life, as I've already said, is full of tragedy. A life without tragedy, what does that look like? How can that happen? You have to be so emotionally detached, so avoidant of any emotional connection, and investment in anything to never have a tragedy.
It's weird though. You know? If we're looking at like trying to be like a sort of like a stoic, like wise approach to this question, like, would you go back in time and change any parts of your life? Things like that, right? It's difficult to simultaneously hold the notion of mistakes are an amazing teacher and they're part of who make me who I am, yada, yada, but also think that everything you've done has been optimal so far, because that's definitely not true, right? Nobody's right all the time.
Well, it is. Okay. It really depends on what you mean by optimal. If you mean by optimal, you mean perfect? No. By optimal, you mean most efficient? No. By optimal, you mean everything I did was the optimal way to get me to where I'm at now and who
I am. Well, that's definitely
now.
I mean, that's definitely true, right?
I don't know how you could argue it differently. Yeah. I don't know how you could say it's not optimal in that sense. And again, you know, if you're not happy with who
Well, that's
you
the thing.
Are,
if you're not happy with where you are now, this is a very different question, right?
It is a very different question, but when you and this is the key, and this is kind of what I'm talking about in terms of like mistakes versus versus tragedy. If you're not happy with who you are now, and your idea of, boy, God, the only way I could fix this is to go back in time and change things, you're really not taking a lot of ownership with where you're at. You're externalizing all the problems in your life. And I don't want you to internalize all the problems and make them depressive, but we are responsible to a great degree for where we're at. And we are responsible to 100% degree of certainty for how we feel and how we react to where we're at, right? Circumstances beyond our control happen. That's that part that we're not in control of. How we deal with those circumstances, how we internalize the effect of those circumstances, how we feel about those circumstances, those are always 100% within our control. That is so much easier said than done. I don't want to make it sound like that's a flip of a switch. And I tell myself that all the time when I'm feeling very emotional and upset. I'm like, dude, you are choosing to feel this way. And my brain says, yeah, motherfucker, I am choosing to feel that way. What are you going to do about it? I'm like, I'm going to choose not to. Oh, really? Let's see that trick, Mosh. So again.
Easier said than done, right?
Easier said than done, but it is within our control.
There is a sillier version of this in a Saturday Night Live sketch from a couple of years ago where Adam Sandler was hosting, where he plays a travel agent and he's trying to sell package holidays to Italy. And he's like, come swim with dolphins and, you know, eat fresh fish off the Amalfi Coast. And he's like, I want to be very clear. People, we get this all the time. It breaks my heart. People buy our trips. They come to Italy and they don't like it. He's like, if you are sad where you are, you will still be the same sad you in Italy. If you come and you take photos of yourself on vacation, you will still be in those photos. And that's true. I think it's tempting to, like you said, externalize those issues and think, oh, if only blah, blah, blah hadn't happened, everything would be fine. If only so-and-so, if only I'd said this, if only I'd done this differently, everything would be different. You're still you. You, most of the time, and I'm not saying you'd make a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. But you probably made the best decision you had with what the information and the emotions you had at the time. And you shouldn't beat yourself up over it. You need to learn to live with it and learn how to carry that with you and move on. And fixating back on it, even if you could vibrate your body a very specific way, phase through a wall and run back in time, that might not even be a good idea. Spoiler alert, I believe in Flashpoint, it is a terrible idea.
It's a bad idea. Yeah. It's a bad idea. And it's not even just learn to live with who you are. You have to embrace it. You have to. Because part of what we're doing when we say, God, I wish I could do this differently, if I could just go back in time and change this, or if I could, you know, is we're rejecting the version of us that did that. We're rejecting ourselves. You know, there's that voice in us going, you fucking idiot. How could you do this? Why did you say yes here? Why did you say no here? Why did you take the red pill? You know, all those things and all of that, when we have that internal conversation with ourselves, is really damaging. You got to find a way to, you know, picture that younger version of yourself and just hug yourself and be like, yo, we are where we are. Because when you're fighting that battle internally, you're not going to make any progress externally. And that is like my therapist tells me this all the time. You're like, these are the things that are not just like kumbaya mashi talking here. These are like real therapy things that are out there where it's like, and when you step back for a second, you start to think to yourself, if you're at war with yourself internally, you're never going to find peace externally. That's just, I mean, think about that for a second. How is that ever going to work? And honestly, what you've said, Dennis, is so true. We made the best decision we could with the tools we had at the time. That doesn't mean they were good decisions. Sometimes we make decisions out of defensiveness for our psyche, for our physical self, for our well-being, for our spirituality, that are very, you know, when we look back on it, we feel suboptimal, wrong decision, not what we were trying to do. But at the time, somehow, something in us needed that decision, right, wrong, or indifferent. And I think recognizing that, and that part of us is still there, still needs love, and maybe, and this is the real kicker. This is the part that really rolls your eyes in your back of your head and makes you want to do that Exorcist 360 in your head. Maybe think about this. The reason you made a decision yesterday, a week ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that you now think was terrible and wrong and are enraged at yourself for doing, maybe it's because that version of yourself needed a little bit more love, care, compassion, and understanding. And maybe if the today version of you gives that love, care, compassion, and understanding to yourself, it'll be a lot better for you. Maybe that part of you still needs that. And I think that's a huge, huge lesson about tragedies, about the mistakes we've made, about where we are today and how it formed us. Because we can look at it as being like living in the shadow of that terrible mistake, or we can choose to say, you know what? I think I made that decision, or maybe I know I made that decision because it's internal to me, because I was missing some love, some understanding, some surety, some consistency in my life. But now I'm in a place where I can go back and give that to myself. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of those internal dialogues and self-recrimination, is you always have the opportunity to go back and look at yourself and just picture yourself, whether you're standing in the mirror or what you look like or where you were, what you were doing, and just give yourself a hug. That's what I do. I mean, I'm telling you, this is literally what I do. So I think
I hope you go into your day, Mashi, and are more forgiving of past Mashi than maybe he might have been of further past Mashi. And if you blink through time and get to record this episode again, maybe you'll pick a different flash quote and we'll have a different conversation. But for today, I'm glad we had this one.
I'm glad we had this one too. Go out there, give yourself a hug. Because even if you don't think you need it, trust me, you do.